If you have been working hard for your company, getting the massive results, and you are ready to start operating at the next level in your career, you want a promotion, and you're waiting for somebody to tap you on the shoulder and pull you up and tell you, hey, it's time for you to get ready or apply for this promotion, this episode is for you, because it is time for you to shift from that mindset and step into your role as the CEO of your career. It's time for you to stop passively waiting for somebody to hand you this promotion and proactively advocate for yourself to land the promotion. And in this episode, I'm talking about why waiting to be chosen is not going to work for you. And I share a simple 5-step process you can use to advocate for your promotion so you can land that next level role that you desire to be in, where you can finally have more impact and more pay in your career. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for professional women ready to leave miserable jobs, stop being overlooked, and land higher paying roles they're excited about without compromising who they are. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from feeling unfulfilled and stuck at work to thriving in a career I've loved for over 10 years. Along the way, the professional awards, $3 million federal grant, and textbook I wrote are some evidence of the impact I've been able to have, all while building a coaching business to help women like you find fulfillment and have impact in their careers. Inside my programs, Find Your Fulfilling Career and Next Level Career, I guide women to clarify their path, land dream jobs, and negotiate salary increases with faith and confidence. Whether you're ready to leave a soul-sucking job or advance into your next level role, you're in the right place. Together, we'll uncover what's holding you back and help you step confidently into the career and life God has for you. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. I hope that you're doing well. And yeah, let's get into today's episode. So today I'm talking about advocacy, specifically advocating for an advancement or a promotion in your career. And I want to come at this from the lens of how I have seen a lot of the clients that I work with, the mindset that I've seen them have before coming to work with me, which is often one of waiting to be seen, waiting to be approved, waiting to be chosen. Like essentially you're waiting for somebody else to hand you this advancement or promotion opportunity that you believe you rightfully deserve because of years of service, years of hard work, a proven track record, or whatever it may be. And when I say my clients, I'm thinking specifically of the clients I work with one-on-one in my one-on-one coaching partnership, Next Level Career. So in one-on-one coaching, I'm typically working with clients who are ready to get promoted in their career. Usually they want to get promoted into a manager, director, VP, executive level, because they've just been operating at the same level in their career for years and they've realized that they have maxed out their growth, their skills, their advancement capabilities, and are ready to have more impact, more money, more responsibility, just more visibility in their careers. Sometimes the women that work with me are trying to establish their thought leadership and want to be seen outside of their company as experts. So all that to say, I've seen a track record of waiting to receive this promotion that you believe you rightfully deserve. And the problem with that mindset is that it assumes that we live in a meritocracy. It assumes that you are operating in a world where things are fair and you do hard work, you get recognized, you get promoted, the end. But like that way of advancing in the world of work was for our parents' generation. That is no longer how growth and advancement happens in your career. And the problem with that mindset is that if you are waiting to be seen, you're going to keep waiting. Like you will wait and wait and wait, and you will look up and you will realize, hey, 10 years have gone by in my career. I haven't advanced. I'm not being recognized. I'm not seen as a leader or as an impactful team member. What is going on? What was going on was that you were thinking you could put your head down, do the work, and your work would speak for itself. Meanwhile, you need to speak for your work if you have any desire to grow in your career. And the reason why waiting to be seen, waiting to be chosen, waiting to be picked, the reason why it doesn't work is that generally as people, we pay attention to what is in our face. Think about it. Like out of sight is out of mind is very true just for us as people. Think of our human brains. We have so many things that we're responsible for, so many things that we're thinking about, that truly, if something is not in our face, we don't really pay attention to it. Like, we might know that, yeah, it's there, it's helping, it's impactful, but not really paying attention to it. So if you are quietly working away, making moves for your company, managing people, leading people, bringing in revenue, reducing expenses, like you're doing all this good work, but you're not in anyone's face, you're not going to be chosen. Not to mention the fact that waiting to be chosen for a promotion is a passive activity. Waiting for somebody else to see you and recognize you and say, hey, you've been working really hard, you deserve to get promoted, that is passive. And you cannot desire to be a leader in your career, in your field, and be doing passive things. Leaders are not passive. They're not, I was about to say they're not responsive, but they're responsive in that they respond to what their team, what people need, but they're not responsive in that they're not waiting for things to happen for them. Reactive, that's the word. It's not responsive. They're not reactive. They're proactive. They're thinking about how to grow, how to advance things, what problems exist, anticipating problems, how to solve them. And you as a professional career person are a CEO. You are the CEO of your career. It is so important for you to, if continuing to work as a professional is your desire, meaning, because I know I've worked with some people who have desire to start a business, and so they did a side hustle, but that's not for everyone. Some people genuinely enjoy being a part of a bigger organization. When I say bigger, I don't mean massive. I just mean bigger than you just doing your own thing and contributing and working in a team. So if that is your long-term vision, is that you want to continue to be a professional career person, grow your career, be impactful in your field, then you have to recognize that your career is a company. It is an organization, and you are the CEO of that company. And your job, your responsibility as the CEO is to be making decisions that will benefit and grow your company. Meaning prioritizing the needs of your company, anticipating the problems, the barriers, and creating solutions that will grow your company. Because best believe that organization you work for, the leaders, that's what they're thinking about, is the organization and the organization's bottom line. You have to think of yourself as someone who is almost like you're contracting to a company. You're not a contractor, but when you think of yourself as a company, you realize that you can't tie your career future, your career goals, your dreams to any one organization, because you are essentially just loaning them your skills and your talent for as long as it is mutually beneficial for both you and them. But I digressed a little bit there. My point was, you are a CEO. And so if you're waiting for somebody else to notice you and see you and say, hey, it is time for your company to grow, here's an opportunity, you are abdicating responsibility for your career growth to somebody else. You cannot desire to be a leader and abdicate responsibility for your career growth to anybody, to your manager, to your company, to your loved ones, to society, to the economy. Nobody should have responsibility for the trajectory of your career except you. And you have that power. Now, we live in a society that might want to make you think that you don't, which is why you think that just putting your head down and doing the work, working hard, is what is going to get you promoted. But really, that just leaves you overworked, burnt out, overlooked, miserable, and resentful in your career. So you have to move from passively waiting for somebody else to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you're ready for a promotion, to advocating for yourself, advocating for what it will take for your career to grow, and what would it take for you to get that promotion with that 20 to 50K salary increase that you desire. Not to mention, I said this briefly, but the more you wait, the more resentful you're going to feel. Like, that is all waiting is going to do. You're going to be resentful because you're going to start wondering, why won't they see me? Like, why I'm doing all this work. You'll feel undervalued, right? They don't value me. They don't see me. They don't cherish the work I'm doing. And so you start resenting the company. Meanwhile, the company is probably just doing what they're supposed to do, looking out for their bottom line. What is your responsibility? Look out for your bottom line. It's really that simple. Not to mention, if you're listening to this and you are a woman of faith, we don't want to harbor resentment. Like, if you're in an environment that is leading you to harbor resentment in your heart, that resentment can't live in your heart as well as the love that we are called to give out into the world as women of faith, right? Like, we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, love all people the way Jesus loved us. You can't do that if you hate the people you're with. And essentially, like, resentment is just low-grade hate. That's really what it is. And so when you stay in a company where you're working super hard and they haven't given you an opportunity to promote, over time, what happens is you start getting resentful, and that is not aligned with where your heart position that you should have as a woman of faith. Not to mention, again, I've said not to mention like twice now, but I'm thinking again on this line of being a woman of faith. The Bible tells us to ask and it shall be given. We are taught to speak up and to ask for things. Like, this idea of advocacy is, in my opinion, even biblical. And like, yes, God was talking about asking him, right? When he said, ask and you shall be given, seek, knock, all of that, which actually, if you haven't done that yet, you should. If you want to get promoted, have you prayed to the Lord about it and asked him if it's aligned and asked him to open doors for you? So yes, ask the Lord. And we still have to speak up for what we want. Like, I think of Jesus. Think about Jesus's life and Jesus's story. How many times did Jesus ask people what they wanted before he healed them? Like, there was this element of people having to speak up. I think of the blind man. He's sitting there, he's blind, and he's yelling, you know, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus is still like, what is it you want me to do? And it's like, bruh, I know you can see that I can't see. Give me some eyesight. Like, I know you know what I want. But I think that there's an element of faith that comes with opening your mouth to ask for something. Because for you to ask, a part of you at least has to believe that it is in the cards for you, that it is possible for you, that you can achieve it. And I think that in those stories, when the Lord asked people, what is it that you want? Their speaking was their faith. Like, I know you can make me see. That's what I want. I want you to make me see. Like, I wouldn't ask you for something if I didn't think you could do it for me. Right? And so you have to also, I think, look at it from that lens of, if you're waiting quietly to get this promotion, is there a part of you that doesn't believe that you are deserving of it? Or that you're ready for it? Or that you will be successful in it? Because then there's some mindset things that you need to unpack there. But there is benefit to proactively advocating for yourself. We have evidence in the Bible of people proactively advocating. Think of the woman with the issue of blood. If she had just sat in her tent, because remember, she was unclean. She shouldn't have been out in society, right? Imagine she just sat in her tent and say, oh, I hear about this Messiah. I hope that one day he's going to see that I need him and he's going to come save me. Her story would not be in the Bible. Well, maybe, well, I don't know. I don't know what God would have done. But the story as we have it is of someone proactively advocating for herself, and she got her miracle. Okay. Now, I'm not saying connect these two directly. I'm just trying to help lay a foundation for biblically, how does speaking up for what you want, how is it a sound biblical concept? And the reason why I think that is important is because a lot of women, especially women of faith, Black women of faith, if I add levels, there's a level of indoctrination that has happened where you've been told probably to just be quiet, to be seen and not heard, to wait your turn, and you'll eventually get what you deserve. But that is just not how the world of work works. Like, it is a very unfair space and system that you have to learn how to navigate. And part of that navigation is knowing when and how to advocate for what you deserve. And that is exactly what I help my clients do in one-on-one coaching, Next Level Career, is helping you see that next level promotion that you're ready for, helping you objectively identify the skills and the accomplishments that make you ready, helping you articulate that to your manager, to your supervisors, whoever it may be, so that you can land that promotion with all the tools that you need, with support in your corner, with faith-based approaches to guiding you on that journey to landing your promotion. And so if, as you're listening to me, because I'm going to now talk, how do you exactly advocate for yourself? As you're listening, if you're thinking this sounds great and you want help to actually make the promotion happen faster, you know, within the next 6 months, then I definitely invite you to check out my one-on-one coaching. We should work together. If you go to privatecareercoaching.com, you can learn all about Next Level Career and how to work with me one-on-one. That URL is also always in the episode description or show note. It's privatecareercoaching.com. Okay, now let's talk about advocacy. Now that I have laid the groundwork for why you need to stop waiting, how, you know, speaking up, there's a biblical foundation to why you should speak up for yourself. Well, what does that actually look like tangibly practical. Like, that's one thing. And this is one thing about me. Like, the way I talk to you here is how I talk to my clients. I like practicality, right? I'm not a fluffy coach. It's not just about thoughts and theory and concept. Like, what is the, let's get in the trenches. What are we going to do? Right? How do we implement this thing? Strategies. Let's do the work. That's the kind of coach I am, even here on the podcast. So let me walk you step by step. What does it look like for you to actually advocate for a promotion? Well, I think the first and most important thing is getting clear about what you want. What is the job title that you want, right? Are you trying to land a director role, an assistant director role, a VP role, a C-suite role? Like, what is the title? What is the salary that you're trying to go into? Like, and when I say get clear, I mean get crystal clear. There's no waffling here. I remember I was once working with a client, and when we first started working together, she said, you know, I could go for a director of operations role, but I could also go for a chief of staff. And I'm like, no, stop right there. Okay. Yes, they do similar things, but which one are we positioning you for? Because if you're trying to get a promotion, it is all about positioning. And we're not going to position you for more than one thing, because that just slows the process down, confuses you, confuses hiring managers, confuses everybody. What is the specific job you want? You have to know and get bought into the next level job that you want to land so that you can start thinking and operating as that version of you. You have to start moving like that version of you as the very first basis of advocating for yourself. Once you have that clarity, the next thing you're going to want to do is figure out where you are already qualified for that role. This is also why you need to have clarity. Because if you're saying, I can do, you know, I can either get promoted into director of HR or director of operations, those are very different roles, very different responsibilities, very different skill sets. How are you going to know where you are already qualified if you're trying to qualify yourself for multiple roles? It's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard. And I don't like doing things the hard way. It makes no sense. Okay? Okay. So figure out where you're already qualified for that role that you have figured out you want to do. So how might you do this? I will say, you know, start by finding 4 job postings for that specific job. It doesn't matter where, in terms of geographically, where these jobs are, because all you're doing is research. You're not trying to find a job. So it doesn't have to be in the city where you're at. What you want to do is find 4 job postings for legit companies, because you're going to look at those job postings to see what are some common responsibilities and skills that you've picked out across the 4. Here's something very easy you can do. And I just thought about this now. Take all 4 job postings, copy and paste them into a document, upload the document into an AI tool, whatever your preference is, ChatGPT, Gemini, Copilot, Claude AI, whoever you like to talk to. Put the document in an AI tool and ask it to analyze these 4 job postings and tell you recurring themes across responsibilities and skill sets. Yo, I just dropped game on y'all, because that will speed up your research so fast. I'm about to go tell my client to do one of these. And then once you put it in the AI tool, you have it do the analysis for you. You really just want to see here, what are the themes or patterns in responsibilities and skills that you will need to be effective in that job? And then you're going to think about your own role right now. What are all the things you are responsible for right now? Things that are written down, things that are unwritten. Because again, if you're like a lot of my clients, you get tasks assigned to you last minute. You're doing responsibilities that maybe was somebody else's job. That person left the company. It fell to you. So now you're operating technically in 3 different roles across 3 different departments, which is stressful, yes. And at the same time, probably means you have built up a massive skill set outside of just what your job description is. And so now you can do an analysis looking across the typical responsibilities for that next level job you want and what you are already doing and note them down. Paying particular attention to where are you already driving impact for the organization. And I don't want you to trip up here, because a lot of times, very often, when I say that word impact, if you're like my client, your brain probably immediately went to, I'm not making any impact. Yes, you are. Okay. Look, sis, come close. First of all, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, episode 118, you definitely should, because I talked in that episode more about impact. But one thing that I remember saying in that episode that I'm going to say forever and ever now is that if you weren't already making impact, one, you would not have a job. Okay, that's number 1. 2, impact. If you think about the equation for impact, it is simply your results plus business outcomes. Okay, how are the results you're driving impacting influencing, shaping business outcomes in some way, shape, or form. That is all it means to be driving impact for your organization. And so if you can see where you are already doing that, one, it boosts your confidence because now you see, hey, hold up, I'm actually already more than ready for this promotion that I want. I'm already operating in that level for the most part. I'm qualified. And it helps you understand what you will need to say and focus on when it's time to advocate for yourself. Because advocacy is not about emotion. Like, the goal here is not to go to your manager or go to somebody and say, hey, I've been working hard, I'm ready for a promotion. No. You need to come correct with receipts. You need to be able to talk about evidentially, I don't know if that's a word, but I have a PhD, so I can make up words. Evidentially, I should Google it. But you need to be able to show evidence for how you're making a difference and how you are already ready to operate at a higher level in your career. So that's the second step, right? First step, get clear on what you want. Then figure out where you are already qualified for that role that you want. Then the third thing you're going to want to do to advocate for yourself and this promotion is to find out who you need to be in relationship with. This is super important because promotions are about visibility. And this goes whether you're trying to land a promotion internally within your current organization, or you might be in a situation where you realize that there's a cap in your current organization, or maybe the promotion you want is your boss's job and your boss is not leaving anytime soon. Either way, for some reason or the other, you recognize that you're going to have to get promoted externally at a different organization. Either way, you need to be in relationship with decision makers. Who is deciding who gets this job? Who needs to know about you and your work to advocate for your promotion? Who will be the ultimate deciding factor? Like, you have to do your research and figure out who those people are and get in relationship with them. Now, if you are internal, it's a little bit easier to do this because, like, some things you can do is, let's say you realize that the decision maker is a higher level manager, so not your skip level manager, but somebody like executive leader or something. You can volunteer to be on cross-functional projects that that person is maybe on, or that that person is getting reports about, so that you can sort of be in their periphery or in their worldview. Or let's say it's your skip level manager who's going to decide, so not your manager, but your manager's manager. You can ask to present team or project updates to them so that, again, they know who you are. They know your work. They know your contributions. You can start speaking up in meetings that senior leadership are part of. And when I say speak up, don't just, like, it's not just talking, but it's how can you communicate alignment with the company's strategic goals? How can you communicate that you are aware of what the company is working on and that you are contributing to that? These are just some things that you can do internally to start becoming visible to leaders in your organization. And then this one is, I'm putting a major, massive caveat on this one. If you trust your manager, okay, that's the biggest caveat. If you trust them, you have a good relationship with them, you are 100% sure that they have your back, then you can ask your manager to sponsor you. They can do that by, you know, mentioning you and mentioning your work when they are in meetings with decision makers. But essentially, you really just need to start getting, like, people need to see you, see your work, and know what you're capable of. Now, if you're trying to go external, so you're not trying to get promoted in your company, but with a different organization, it's really about doing the research. Who's the hiring manager for the role you're applying for? Who is that person going to be reporting to? And get in their world. Ask for an introduction. Ask to meet with them directly. Have a conversation with them. Okay, so this third step is all about getting visible, because you can't advocate for yourself if you're not seen. If people don't even know that you exist, then what is the advocacy that you're doing? Like, if you think about any advocate for any cause that you've ever seen or known, they are visible. People, that you have to be seen for people to hear you, essentially. So, which leads me perfectly into the fourth thing you're going to want to do, right? So after you get clarity, you figure out how you're already qualified, you start getting in relationship, you get visible, you build connections with these people. Once those relationships are established, the fourth step is to then tell people what you want. Again, if you stop at step three, you're still doing what I'm trying to get you not to do, which is waiting to be chosen. You actually have to speak up and advocate and say what it is that you want. So once the relationship is established with a decision maker, tell them your goals. Right? Just tell them what it is you're trying to achieve. You can approach the conversation from a lens of, you know, hey, I have been thinking about my growth in the company. you know, like thinking about where, what's next for you. You can mention your contributions, how you have made an impact, how you have driven outcomes, and then tell them the role that you want to be considered for. And mind you, your contributions, you already clarified in step two. The role that you want to be considered for, you already clarified in step one. So essentially at this point, you're just telling them the work about the work you have done to get clarity and make impact, and that this is all a part of you wanting to stay in the company and grow in the company and contribute to the company. And then ask them for their thoughts, ask them for what advice they have to give you. This can be a very just casual conversation. When you're doing this, you know, just approach it like a conversation. Don't over-explain yourself. Don't apologize. Don't talk too much, because we do these things when we're nervous. We just start blabbing. No. Just, hey, I've been thinking about my growth, and I've been thinking about how over the last year and a half, I've done A, B, C, and D, and I'm really interested in the blank role, and I'm curious to hear, what are your thoughts about that? Simple. That's it. That's the conversation. You ask their thoughts, you ask their advice, and you see where it goes from there. Now, obviously, at this point, I'm saying approach it conversationally, but that's because you then want to see, is your ask feasible? How do they respond to you? Do they shut down? Do they make it sound like, nope, not going to happen? Or is it a case of, actually, we can make that happen? In which case, then you will have a more formal conversation about what are the next steps? What is the process? What is the timeline? As a matter of fact, you know what? That's step five. Step five is have a follow-up plan. After you have that conversation, what's next? Because the conversation doesn't stop at the conversation. I know that sounds weird, but it's like advocacy is not just that casual conversation, because that was you planting the seed. It's still passive. It's still passive. Advocacy is an active process. So now you want to ask, if they say yes, like you want to figure out at this point, what will it take to actually make the promotion happen, make it a reality? So if they say yes, you might follow up with, oh, great. Like, what might the next steps be? What will be the process to getting that promotion? What is the timeline? What should you do to prepare for the role? Make a plan to follow up based on the timeline. So if they say, well, you know, in the next 3 months, it's going to be available. You can apply. Da, 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 da. Guess what? In 2 months, you're following up via email. Here's what I've done in the past 2 months to prepare myself. I'm still interested. What is it going to take? Like, you have to have a plan. If the answer you get is a no, or they're kind of like waffling, where they don't, pretty much they're leading you on, right? Like, you get the sense that it's not going to happen. Then you might ask why. And it doesn't have to be confrontational. Thank you for giving me that feedback. Can you tell me why you think that's not going to be possible for me right now? Or can you give me some feedback on why this might not be in my future in the organization? Right? Just ask for feedback. You might then even ask, what would it take to make that no a yes? Is it just the case of you need to work on certain projects or get more time in the company? Because the other thing that I think I haven't mentioned yet that's very important is, you also have to, before you start any of what I've said, you have to understand the promotion process in your company. Because I've worked with some clients in some organizations who, they have a very formal promotion process. Like, it actually is objective. It's based on output. It's based on time in the organization, and they go in order. So if that's the case for you, then that's different. Then that might be one of those wait your turn. And I would wait until maybe they skip you to then think, okay, something is wrong here. But then most companies don't have this formalized promotion process. Most companies just, they do it based on vibes, based on vibes, and that's not what you want. So yeah, if the answer is no, ask them why it's a no, what it would take to get a yes. And if they give you actual things that you can do to make the no yes, ask for a timeline. Do you need to do those things in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months for it to become a yes? And if you meet those benchmarks, what next? And is it ever going to be a yes? Because sometimes it might be no. There's just no room for that kind of growth in the company. There's no opportunities. We just don't see that for you. And you want to have that clarity, because if you get that feedback, then now it's up to you to think about, is it time for you to look externally in a different organization for this promotion that you want? And when you go into this advocacy process, when you go into the ask knowing that no is a possible answer, then you won't take it personally. You won't get all tripped out and spiral because you got a no. It will just be data. You won't fall apart. You'll just keep it moving and decide on the next steps. Okay? So those are the five. I like doing steps because I feel like it makes things clear. Get clarity on what you want. Figure out how you're already qualified for the role. get in relationship with the kind of the right people, the decision makers that will help you land that promotion. Tell them that you want the promotion, ask for the promotion, and then follow up. Based on the ask, follow up next. Either you're going to follow up by doing the things you need to do to get the promotion internally, or you're going to follow up by getting your resume together and applying externally, maybe even hiring a coach, either way, to help you with this. Okay, that's it. Five simple steps that will help you advocate for yourself to get promoted. Now, I know that there might be a part of you that's thinking, okay, but what if it backfires, right? Like, you're worried about advocacy backfiring either by them saying you're aggressive or you hear no, or now they know what you really want. And let me just first start by saying, I think that that fear of it backfiring comes down to a couple of things. One, you are maybe afraid of being seen as ambitious, in which case, if that resonates with you, then I'm like, so what? Why is being ambitious a problem? Like, who made being ambitious a crime? Like that should not be something that you're worried about at all. Or maybe you are worried about being seen as ungrateful, in which case, that's just not true. Like, gratitude and ambition are not mutually exclusive. You can be extremely grateful for what you have now and at the same time still want and desire more for yourself and your career future. Or the third thing that could be here is you're worried about getting rejected. That's like, you're worried about asking and hearing a no, in which case you haven't made rejection neutral. You need to neutralize your relationship with rejection, because more like it really doesn't matter. Okay. They said no. Guess what? No is just data. What are you going to do with that data? Now you have a choice. Either you're going to stay here where you know promotion is not a possibility, or you're going to go somewhere else. It really is that simple. They made a choice. Now it's time for you to make your choice. Don't make it personal. Don't make it something that it's not. Because usually what happens when we get rejection is we start personalizing it. Oh, I'm not good enough. I didn't have the skills. I'm not ready. I did something wrong. No, they had their reasons for saying no. You know what you want. Now, what are you going to do to make it a yes somewhere else? It's just that simple. Don't make rejection something that it's not. Neutralize your relationship with rejection. Because whatever happens, right, like whatever you hear from this process, at least when you go through this process and advocate for yourself, then you will know where you stand. You will know if you have a valid and viable future at this company, or you will know that you don't. Like, you have to be in CEO mode. This is your job. As the CEO, you need data to help you make decisions for your company that is your career, right? Like, you need to be making data-based decisions. Oh, this organization is not going to let my company grow? Well, guess what? I need to go to a different organization where my company will grow. It's just that simple. No is data. What are you going to do now that you have that piece of data? That's it. Neutralize your relationship with it. And I think that if you can do those, if you can get over that fear of being seen as ambitious or thinking that you're ungrateful or fear of rejection, you will be able to advocate for yourself seamlessly and find yourself landing your promotion with a 20 to 50K increase within the next 6 months. It really is about taking the action. Stop waiting passively to be seen. Stop waiting passively to be chosen. Stop waiting passively for somebody else to say, hey, you're ready. No, you know you're ready. You know that you're ready. Become active, become a leader, take charge, stop abdicating responsibility for your career growth, take charge of your career, and start making moves to help you land the goal or the desire that you have for where you want to see your career grow. Now, I will say, doing this whole process will definitely go smoother when you have support, okay, from having the conversation to making the pivot. Support is always going to help you, which is exactly what I help you do in my one-on-one coaching. So when we work together one-on-one, I can literally help you through every single one of these steps, even like all the way up to if they say yes or no, what is next, whether it's prepping yourself for that internal promotion or pivoting to apply somewhere else externally. So if you're ready to get support to help you position yourself for the promotion and land the role with a 20 to 50K salary increase within the next 6 months, I definitely want to invite you to work with me in Next Level Career. Next Level Career is my one-on-one coaching partnership. It's a 6-month one-on-one coaching partnership where I help you land that higher level role or thrive in that higher level role that you desire so that you can finally start having more impact, more money, and more responsibility in your career. You can go to privatecareercoaching.com to learn all about NLC and how we can work together. That URL is also going to be in the description of this episode in the show notes. And when you go to Private Career Coaching, you'll learn more about how I help my clients achieve their career goals in NLC, and you'll book a sales call to talk to me. And essentially, the sales call is really where we talk about the current barriers you're experiencing in your career, what your goals are, and how I can help you reach those goals, and we'll discuss next steps. That's really what it is. The sales call is our time to figure out if this is the best way to serve you, how I will help you reach your goals, and then decide on the next steps for working together. So again, you can go to privatecareercoaching.com to book a sales call to learn how you can work with me one-on-one to help you land your promotion with a 20 to 50K salary increase within the next 6 months. Thank you for listening to this episode. As usual, I hope you found it valuable and helpful. If you did, don't forget to leave us a review or rating on whatever platform you're listening on. It helps the channel grow. And I will catch you on the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. If you're ready to stop feeling overlooked in your career and start stepping into your next level role with faith and confidence, I've got something special for you. I created a private podcast series just for professional Christian women like you, teaching you exactly how to step into higher paying, higher impact roles without compromising who you are. Visit nextlevelrole.com to sign up and listen today. Again, that link is nextlevelrole.com, or you can just click the link in the episode description to get started. Your next level role is waiting for you, so let's make it happen.